All right. So this is Angel Sessions version 1, and probably I'll get a better title later on. Jude 1:19 says, the last part of it talks about a higher spiritual life, right? And I'm thinking that my desire for y'all, thank you so much, is I think a higher quality of life equals a higher spiritual life, or a better understanding of spiritual things can have a positive benefit on your natural life. I believe that we're all originated spirit first, but some of us from our different backgrounds have little or no understanding or even ignorant of spiritual things. Right? There's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:1, that this guy, Apostle Paul, his motivation was, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual things. And about a year ago, other than my calling, I was like, well, I hate ignorance in anything, right? And I, but I'm finding that when people, like, I'm so ignorant how to get to Lynchburg, so this is not helping me, you know, and I'm relying upon technology, and it's kind of been a detriment, right? So I need to remove that ignorance and replace it with knowledge, right? So this week, this Saturday and the next Saturdays, we're about taking out ignorance of spiritual things and replacing with knowledge of spiritual things so that you can navigate that realm and this realm better. Not perfect, but better. I believe the journey here on earth is affected by your own journey in the invisible or the spirit realm. Okay, I'll go back and forth from metaphysical, spiritual, invisible, other dimensions, out there, other, but it's all the non-touchy, okay? So, supernatural, but we need to understand and not be afraid, okay? I grew up in fear of things I couldn't control, things I couldn't see, mostly because I watched too many sci-fi and scary movies, so they had programmed me that you're at the mercy of that werewolf. Because any second now, on a full moon, wherever you are, it's stronger than the door, stronger, stronger, stronger. Unless you have a bunch of whatever around your neck, or this, or silver bullets, you're a victim. So much of our external input puts us in a victim mentality, right? But you're not victims. You're victorious. You're here to win, not just to be the doormat to circumstances, a doormat to things, right? But we get to learn a lot on the way. So hopefully I'm going to be helping you learn stuff. Okay, get started here. Like I said, we're gonna talk about angels, and we're not going to talk about other stuff out there, and some of that stuff is Seven Spirits of God. I got a book on that. There's tradition in the Hebraic world that the Hebrew letters are alive, and that's a whole teaching about the 22 letters, how they're alive and how they can affect your life too. The four winds, there's in one book of the Bible, it talks about the four corners of the earth, there's winds there, and I believe everything's alive, and I believe that we can interact with stuff. And the winds, which are blowing outside, I believe they're alive. And in some cases, like a child has a temper tantrum, I believe some tornadoes are just blustery winds having a fit, wanting to be guided, waiting for someone to realize that they have a role to say, stop that. And that tornado will stop that. Okay. But they won't stop until an authority, a person realizes who they are and what they're responsible for, will take the responsibility. Just like parents, if you let your two-year-old have his way, they will have their way wherever they have it, you know. So I think there's a difference between a whirlwind and a tornado. Tornadoes are destructive, whirlwinds have a purpose. Chariots of fire. Been in one, it's kind of fun, but we're not talking about that. Demons, We all have a thought about that. I remember I was in Israel, I mentioned the devil and demons, and they were like, we don't believe in that. Okay, fine. Do you believe in bad things happening? Yes, we believe in, okay. So we won't personify it. You know, you don't want to personify evil. I'm okay with that. But let's talk about how to deal with bad things that happen. We don't have to give them a name, but we have to get through them, right? So we're not talking about that. Fallen ones, the cloud of witnesses, thunders and lightnings, and there's more. But again, in the Q&A portion, if you go, Wally, one time I was walking down, well, I had a friend, it's like, Wally, when I'm in the shower, something appears on my shoulder and it tries to talk to me. Is that a demon? I go, okay, no, it's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, but when we're ignorant of something, we kind of default to what we think. And if we default to everything that we don't understand is evil, then we'll push away a lot of stuff. Right. What's your face doing?
I don't know. I'm just, Wally, don't do it.
I'm sorry.
That was fascinating what you just said.
Yeah, it was.
Say that again.
Yeah. Years ago, I was teaching, a wise mother invited me to speak at her house on Wednesday nights because she had all of the high school kids at her house, right? Because her son was the popular kid, right? And so she was a great cook, so they were all there. So she thought, I have a captive audience, and so she knew me, and she thought I could relate to them. So I came and talked, and after the meeting was over, one of the kid high schoolers said, hey, I had this experience. I had an experience and wanted my opinion, right? And he said, whenever he goes in the shower, something on this side of here starts talking to him. And so every time when that happens, he runs out of the shower, right? And he said he assumed that it was evil because in his religious experience, life experience, no one ever talked about anything invisible, right? He felt, I guess, okay, comfortable talking to me about it. And I said, oh, that's da-da-da-da-da. I explained to him that it was good. There's lots of things in the unknown world that want our help, okay? And so for that one kid, that one time, I don't know why, if I know what, that was a good thing, right? So again, we miss opportunities because of our lack of understanding. So that young man in the shower missed an opportunity because he thought it was a bad thing, and every time it happened, he'd run out of the shower, okay?
That's what that means.
Yeah. So, that everything that we don't understand is evil. I used to think it was. Anything that I couldn't explain, bad, evil, it's going to kill me. That was my default because of my realm of experience and inputs and stuff. In the Bible, the word angel is in there about 200 plus times in the New Testament, 213 times. In most places, it's translated angels. In some places, it's translated messenger. So this is where we kind of get kind of off an understanding. So most of the places in the Bible, the word malak I'm going to read it here. Means ambassador, angel, king, messenger. So depending upon how you read that word, right, it affects your understanding. None of us are afraid of our postman. I don't think anyone's afraid of a postman's a messenger, right? Most of the time, they're bringing either neutral news or good news. Everyone's a bill. It's kind of, you know, that's expected, you know. There's some bad news. But on the most part, we look forward to that messenger, right? And in the Hebrew world, and in every world but the Western world, Eastern, they're all looking forward to messengers of goodness, messengers of information, right? Except for the West. We're like, if it doesn't come from a book or from a teacher, we're not going to accept it, right? So this conversation today is about, hey, there's some messengers out there who happen to be angels that are trying to give you information, okay? Are there bad messengers? Yes. But if you expect a bad messenger, most likely you'll get a bad messenger. But if you're looking for a good messenger, that opens the door for a good messenger to come to you. Understand that? Mm-hmm. That is not saying, Wally said that every angel has a good message for me. I didn't say that. I said, if you're looking for a good message, that increases your opportunity of receiving a good message. A good message is information you need to know about. Okay? Now, that messenger may not be an angel. That messenger might be you. Your future you may talk to you. Right? Your conscience is you may talk to you. Some of you don't even listen to yourselves. That's not a good thing, right?
Too much.
You know? Now, if yourself is a scary person, like my mom, she would, you're traveling across country. As we approach a bridge, her subconscious would say out loud, okay, when we go over the bridge and we're all in the water, we all go, what? Yeah. Save yourselves, don't save me. And so for years of approaching, because my dad's in the military, we would, you know, travel cross country because we're from Oklahoma and we're usually elsewhere. For summer break, we go there. Pass a lot of bridges from Alabama to Oklahoma. Every bridge, same speech. When we go over the bridge into the water, save yourselves, let me stay here. And so finally, when I got old enough to go, what, Mom, what are you talking about? We're not going over the bridge. And we're not going to leave you in the car anyway. And yes, you did put us all in swim lessons, but my mom never took swim lessons. So she's always concerned with the family. So in her brain, she was always going through this situation, right? And so she started speaking that a whole lot. Now, we never had happened, but there was a lot of things. So when I started driving on my own, I heard my mom's voice. Okay, you're approaching a bridge. You know you're going to go over. I'm not in the car right now, but hopefully you'll save yourself. And I'm like, well, what is this voice? You know? So we've been programmed by people and stuff and books and things. So on angel stuff, some of us have had been good programmed with angels, bad programmed angels. There's nothing outside that can talk to you, da-da-da-da. So I'm telling you, there are good angels, have good information. But those angels from the Bible are messengers. Sometimes even our real friends that we can see and touch, they come to give you a message, and you go like, what do you know? Well, we need to be open for good information coming our way, okay? Now, we need to be discerning, too. Just don't go, okay, what? Take the gun and do what? Go, okay. Thank you for that advice, right? That would be bad. So just understand when you get, if you use the Bible as your reference, a lot of the scriptures that are translated angel, the word is actually messenger, okay? Now, you need to be open to all the messengers, all the good messengers are out there, and not be like me expecting it. Well, I grew up thinking that God spoke with a deep bass voice, Charlton Heston, actually, I thought, because the movie Moses had Charlton Heston navigating. So I grew up thinking that was God's real voice. So I was expecting that voice till I was 35 years old. So every voice that didn't sound like that, well, that couldn't be God, because it's not a deep bass, doesn't sound like Charlton Heston. Then I go to a teaching, someone says, God's voice sounds like you. What? For years, I thought, shut up. I'm waiting for the bass voice, you know. And I was like, oh, okay. So again, that little correction, that one meeting. And I don't know if someone told me that years before, but that one day in a college meeting, I was like, wow, how many times did I say, stop that, I'm waiting for the bass voice. You know, because we all know God's bass voice. Because I'm the same guy that thought that when you started dating, I grew up in musicals, so I thought when you took a girl out, you had to sing to her, right? So that's why my radio was always on. I was waiting for that moment. This is true. When I wanted to propose to my wife, I thought I had to do a production. Now, this is the way I was wired, right? Hopefully none of you are wired like that. But I thought that, you know, so I brought a dozen roses from California to Illinois, get off the plane, and I thought that once she saw the roses, that was a trigger for her to say, why are those roses? And I'd go to my production. It would be, because you're more beautiful than these dozen roses. Well, when I got off the plane, this is back when you could come to the gate, you know, back in the old days. There was no security. Or no need for security, whatever. And she stayed at the gate. And everyone on the plane, every stewardess and most of them on the plane wanted my dozen roses, except for my future wife. And I was like, going, what's that? So I thought, okay, missed that trigger. So I'm waiting again for the movies. There's always this moment in time, right? So I thought, okay, maybe we'll do the I love you thingy from the quiet place on the side. If we go by a gate, there'll be no one there. We'll do the quiet thing. I'll drop to my knees and ask her to marry me there, like I'd seen in the movies, you know. We walked by the quiet area. I didn't feel like that was it. Actually, keep going. So we went down to the luggage area, and I thought, okay. She'll say, is that your luggage? I go, it doesn't matter. And I'll jump up on top of the thing, and I'll share with everyone. Luggage is not important to me. This woman here is important. Yeah, and my luggage came. She didn't say that. So I thought, okay, well, we get in the car. I'm thinking, okay, in the car, she'll say something. And I'm waiting for my cue, because the movies was always cues, right? And there was no cue. She did something like, she changed the script. She said, take my hand. Took her hand. Do you feel the heat? I'm like, nope. I'm thinking, I want to marry a weirdo. Feel the heat of your hand. There's nothing in your hand. I mean, I'm thinking, what am I thinking? This can't be the right one, because the cues are supposed to be this way. And she's cueing differently. And I'm like, whatever. So then my beautiful bride-to-be ends up, we're an hour away from her house. But an hour later, we're now still an hour away. And she says, we crossed the border into Wisconsin, where she lives, but where it's a wrong crossing. And she goes, oh, I'm lost. I'm thinking, how can you be lost? You came from your house to pick me up. So now I've got a strange person with a hot hand, and now she can't drive or know her directions. So we pull over to Welcome to Wisconsin area, and I grab a map because we're not getting lost again, right? So I got the map, and we've got a, she has a son, and now she calls and has someone else pick him up. And she says, oh, we're still like an hour plus away from the house. And I'm like, you know, forget the cues for marriage deal. I got to get us to the right place, right? And she says something, and we drive by some lakes. Oh, I wanted to take you anyway. I'm like, yeah, right, you know. And we pull over from Lake Geneva, and there's a restaurant, and she says she wanted to take me there. And so we go to this restaurant, and I've kind of forgotten about why. I mean, I get the roses are still in the car, you know, and I'm, you know, but it's like we're lost now. The new purpose of life is to get to where we need to go, right? So we're in the restaurant, and she's kind of lying about, you know, well, I think she's lying, that, oh, I really wanted to take you here. I'm like, yeah, we need to get to where, you know. So we ordered her food, the food comes, and then she looks at me and she says, oh my gosh, usually I pray over the meal, but you're here. Do you pray over the meal? Or do I pray over the meal? And she's going back and forth, this, who prays over the meal? I'm thinking like, why is this a question? Why is this even an issue? Let's eat the food, right? And then we need to get the car and get to our destination, you know? And so I go, I'll pray. And I grab her hands. And as soon as I grab her hands, I was like, this is it. My bing, this is the moment of truth. So I grab her hands. I say a quick prayer over blessing my chicken. And she goes to let go. And I hold on. And I look at her in the eyes. I go, Cheryl, I love you. I want to marry you. And she falls back in her chair. So strongly, the waitress runs over and says, are you okay? Because it looks like I pushed her or punched her or something. And I'm weirded out because in the TV shows, it doesn't happen like that. The TV shows, a violent guy appears, you know, and it's all good. Now it's all weird, right? She's like this. And I'm like confused, so I'm now in my food, you know. And the waitress is very confused, thinking something's going on, not in a good way. So I devour my chicken. She is stirring her salad. I'm thinking, oh, she didn't hear me correctly. So I say it again. She falls back in the chair. The waitress comes back, turns her back to me. It's like, are you really okay? I can help you if you need help. And I'm like, could you get her some more water? I think she's okay. Warm more water. And so it ended up that this was not what I expected when, you know, according to TV, when you ask someone to marry you, they respond back yes or no, right? And so the analogy here is, you know, we have expectations on the angelic and the engagement with the angelic, and I'm trying to remove some of those misconceptions and myth stuff so that you don't be stupid like I've been stupid. And the next angel story I'm going to tell you. So anyway, back to my engagement almost story. I devour my food, my drinks. She eats nothing. No words are spoken. We leave the restaurant, and I'm very confused. Obviously, this meant no. It means silence. I'm kind of slow, but, you know, the falling back in the chair. And the, you know. So I'm thinking, wow. So, but I did ask, you know. Maybe that's a sign. So we're outside. We're walking towards the lake. I go to grab her hand. She screams, "Don't touch me! Don't touch me!" That's definitely no. I've got it. I mean, screaming, "Don't touch me." That's pretty clear. So that was on a Friday. We didn't talk about it on rest of Friday, all of Saturday, all of Sunday. I act like it didn't happen. I fly back to California. A day or two later, she calls and says, "I love you too." I'll go, "Excuse me, I've been in hell for 5 days," you know, wondering what your reactions meant. You know, I didn't really believe that, right? So my first encounter with the angelic, I had a similar kind of weird response, okay, which affected my engagement with the invisible for 25 years, okay. I personally believe that we need supernatural assistance to actually live our life, and one of those is angels. So, strange engagement story, here comes a stranger angel story. So my first real known angel story. I'm in college, probably the same. What year are you in college?
I'm a junior.
I was a junior too. Either a junior or a sophomore, I can't remember. But I came home from school, I think Christmas break. And the tradition in our family is if you go to church on Sunday, you get to go out for dinner. If you stay home, you get peanut butter.
Oh.
Yes. I like peanut butter, but the Officers Club is really good. So I went to church that morning, and my whole motivation is get to the Officers Club to have the great meal, right? Which means, let's get through this sermon thingy, let's get to the songs, let's get out of here and eat some food, right? Now, I like my church, but not that church, right? The goal was eat real good food. So I'm sitting there, looking at my watch, doing this thingy. You know, literally doing this thingy. Like, this means hurry this thing up, right? And I don't know what row I'm on, but so the tradition of that church was announcements, three songs, another announcement. Then this pastor person would call the kids up, have a little mini thingy, and then send them off to kids' church. Since it was Christmas break, he told them the story about how the angels came and announced to the shepherds in the field that a Savior was born. So for those who have a religious background, you have that story of angels showing up in the fields, filling the skies up, and singing. Probably that's where the harps come in, you know, and then the sky for the angel, where the wings came in. The Bible doesn't say that, but that's where you kind of start going, well, how else can they be in the air? So anyway, so I'm like, come on, get to the kids, send them on, get to the sermon, boom, we get there. So he does, the pastor does that, a few kids are sent off. One little kid runs back in and says, Pastor, do I have an angel? I'm like, dude. And the pastor says to the little kid, yes, you do. And the little kid goes, thanks. And he runs off. And I'm like, man, you're delaying me by a minute and a half, that whole thing. He gets good. So the pastor does a sermon, we leave, go have a wonderful lunch, have a wonderful nap. I wake up and I go to my youth group, which is really cool. Church, youth group, good. There was food involved in youth groups. There's a whole food theme in my whole life.
Teenage boys.
Teenage, you know, yeah. It's true, I'm sorry. There's this food theme throughout my everything I think I taught. Gotta check on that. Anyway, so I go to youth group after having my wonderful lunch at the Officers Club, and I'm going to have some wonderful snacks because Mrs. Yurov was a great cook. And Colonel Yurov was a phenomenal teacher. I mean, so I loved going there, and it was neat. We go there, and we're snacking, and Colonel Yurov makes an announcement. He says, I had an interesting Sunday. I'm thinking, Sunday? Only thing interesting on Sunday is either football or eating. So, and his announcement was on neither one of those topics. He said, the pastor called me and told me the story. And I'm like, you know. And he said, this story goes that the pastor gets a phone call. And the story is, this family called him and said, pastor, we need to meet you at the church. It's an emergency. So the pastor comes to his office. The family meets him there. And here it goes. And the father and mother say, Johnny, tell the pastor what you told us. Well, after church that day, I don't know if they went to the office club, they went home. And so the classic thing, kid goes to the room, mom goes to knitting, dad goes to the paper with the TV on. That's our home. Well, when the kid went to the room, the kid had a two-hour encounter with an angel. Comes out of the room, explains to mom and dad about the 2 hours. He was this big, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Dad goes, who told you you could have an encounter with an angel? And the kid says, well, pastor did this Sunday. I went, I was there when the little kid, I'm thinking, what? So I'm thinking, this wasn't a third party Sound of Music type movie. I was there when I saw the little kid ask the pastor. So I'm now fully attentive. And I'm like, stop the clock. Go into detail now. This is go more time, you know. I'm like this. And so Colonel Yale was explaining what the pastor told him, what the kid said. And when the kid explained it, the dad said, pastor, tell our son that since we haven't seen our angel, that you couldn't have seen your angel. And so some of you have been taught that too, but it's a lie. So the pastor goes, well, wow, I think little Johnny saw his angel. And the mom and dad again said, how could little Johnny see his angel when we, the adults, were all, you know, the adult statements we make, how come we haven't seen our angels? Well, the pastor had no answer for why they had not, but he validated the kid's story. The family leaves. Of course, the pastor hadn't seen his angel either. The family leaves and calls Colonel Year out and says, da, da, da. So now I'm like, I want to go home right that second. Because if that little kid can see his angel, I'm Wally Johnson. You know, that's a done deal, right? So we got through the stuff. This is back when I didn't have a car yet. So my parents picked me up, dropped me off. We go home. My room is in the basement. I go downstairs in the basement. Good night, Mom, Dad. They're going, you're going to bed early. Yeah, bye. Because I'm on assignment, right? So I'm down in my basement with my cool bamboo beads doorway thing and my waterbed and the lava lamp. Yeah, I'm cool, right? So I'm standing at the foot of my waterbed, my beads in the background, you know. And I'm standing like, bring me my angel! And I'm thinking, probably little Johnny didn't say it like that. This probably doesn't work. Nothing happened, right? So I thought, okay, how does this work? Okay. On your knees, because all prayer is on your knees. Hands have to be clasped. There's some rules someplace in there. So I get on my knees. I hate praying on my knees because I play football and I'm sore, you know. So I get on my knees because I want the angel thing. Knees, hands clapped, and I say, oh, great Father. And I speak in King James Elizabethan English, and then get some these and thous in there. And nothing happens. I realize I wasn't sincere enough, you know, and my motives are probably wrong. So I kind of go, I'm sorry. But little Johnny saw his angel. And I really appreciate it if I could see my angel. So right about that point, all of a sudden I felt something standing right here. And where, you know, goosebumps, hair on end. And I'm like, I started screaming like a little girl. I'm like, fuck, because no one told me there'd be some feelings involved, you know. I thought it'd be a warm glow, and I'd go, hello, how are you? But I felt terror. I felt something standing in my bedroom that was bigger than me. I'm a big guy. I don't like things bigger than me. So my first response was scream, like a little girl. So I'm screaming until I'm done screaming. And I can scream for a long time. So I'm screaming for a long time. And then I peek, and there's nothing there. And I grab my heart. Oh, great. Woo! that was close. I was like, wait a minute, did I ask for that? So I went, excuse me, I'm sorry, could you come back? And I did that thing for the next 20 years. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Every once in a while. Then I got to, I don't care if you come back because I don't need you because I'm older now. And every day, every year, I would go from excuse me to I don't need you to could you please, I'm sorry. I repent. Until a year later, my friend Jonathan comes to my dorm room and says, hey, well, listen to this tape. I listen to this tape. I go, that's the worst music I heard. He goes, well, yeah, it's music from my mom's Bible study. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make fun of your mom, but it's not really coordinated. And I don't think the instruments came in at the right time. He goes, yeah, there's no instruments at my mom's house. I go, there's instruments on the tape, Jonathan. You can't fool me. He goes, yeah. And those voices, it's like a choir. How many people in the Bible study? Three or four. It sounds like 20, 30 people. Goes, yeah. But there's only 4, 5, 6, 7 people. I go, time. Time here. Jonathan, I listened to it 4 times with you standing right here. And my great brain and ears picked up at least 20 people and a piano and some horns and stuff. And you're telling me there's no instruments in your mom's house. Did you doctor the tape? He goes, nope, this is a cassette recording. And I go, how do you explain this? He goes, how do you explain it? I go, oh, could this be? Whenever I whisper it into spiritual, could this be possibly? I mean, like, you captured on the tape something. So my whole new faith in angels came back. He goes, well, I don't know what happened. All I know is this is from my mom's Bible study on a little silly tape cassette recorder. And I'm like, can I have the tape, please? He goes, yeah, that's your copy. So I kept the tape for like 4 years, and my faith in the invisible was renewed again. Of course, nothing happened. Right, so I thought, fine, I don't need you people, you invisible people. And so years go by until 8 years ago. I go to a meeting, and the guy doesn't talk on angels, but he has the last teaching set was an 8-tape or 7-tape series on angels. And I, there's the only thing left, so I bought that, and in my car, my CD player got stuck on number 3, so I listened to CD number 3 like 4 times through, right? And repetition helps you deal with things, helps replace bad things, and well, what it helps replace things. So if you repeat something over and over again, it's what we learn, right? So after listening to tape CD 1 and CD 2 once, CD 3 4 times through on our drive back from Connecticut, I was kind of like, angels are good. Angels are good. I'm open to angels, you know, open. And then I met an angel named Free Lass. On the tape, it said that when you have an angel encounter, you should ask their name and ask their purpose and not scream like a little girl. That's my parentheses piece. But screaming's not a good thing, okay? It's not a bad thing. It just says, I don't want you here. And they're very, you know, their goal is not to scare you, to cause trauma, the whole fear thingy. The goal is to partner, to help you. So if you expect something good, they are willing to do things with you. I think we need them. I don't know where I am in my book stuff here, but we're good. So my first encounter, I encountered them wrong. Screamed, right? And then several decades pass until I have a positive experience, okay? The positive experience started when I started believing that they were good for me, right? To help my faith, I would go into my living room, and in our parents' living room, my parents' living room, they had a couch. I sit on the couch, and there was like 5 chairs. Well, in the couch and 4 chairs. And I would go downstairs and say, okay, angel number 1. Tomorrow I have a lot of things to do. I'd appreciate your help. And I would explain the things to do to the empty chair. And I turn to the next chair and go, angel number 2. And I explain, and I go through this on a nightly basis. And I was acting on my belief. If you don't act on your belief, I think things don't happen, right? So I did this not every night, but regularly till I got to where I believe that at least 5 angels were going to help me out, right? And a month or two later, the CD thing happened, and then I met my first angel, okay? So that's how I got to my first engagement with an angel, but it starts with wanting and believing. So my first story encounter, I wanted, can't believe, but didn't know what I was believing for, thus my reaction was screaming like a little girl, right? So no offense to little girls on the tape, but that's what happened to me. So part of the sessions this today and going over would be about preparing you for the supernatural. Any questions so far? Any thoughts? Any? Would you have screamed too, or would have been okay, or would you have been, you know? I'm not offended. Several people have made fun of me since then, but it's okay. Yeah.
No, my first encounter with the supernatural or another being was scared the jiggers out of me too. In the middle of the night, I woke up and there was something beside me, and I, you know, scared me.
Yeah, I out of all the invisible entities, I thought angels because one, I think in our Western culture we have an awareness of angels. It's not like what? I mean, everyone's kind of heard of angels, so. But I think there's lots of different understandings about angels, right? I don't think a lot of them are negative. Maybe a little askew, right? But again, my purpose is if I can help you believe in something that we're kind of comfortable with, then you'll be maybe desiring to understand the rest of the spiritual realm. That's kind of the goal. And we're stepping on that way. Any thoughts on that process? I mean, how do you guys go from familiar to unfamiliar? Okay, because that's what we're trying to do. Because I want us to be more familiar with the invisible realm, right? And I'm proposing that knowing and understanding the angelic will help you take the next step to understanding the rest of that big world called invisible world or the metaphysical world or the unseen world or the supernatural world. Because I think we need to be as fluent in the supernatural world as we are in the natural world. Okay, all I got is some eyes and some heads nodding. So talk to me.
I had a couple, I guess you call them encounters in the 90s. The first one was, you know, I'm laying in bed with my little girl because my husband's out of town, and I'm about to fall asleep, and my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I'm like, what's going on? It's like I knew there was an entity, a huge entity. This must be an angel, but it was kind of like that, it was like this holy presence or whatever it was. All I knew was that I wasn't about to open my eyes, and I didn't know that you could ask anything or inquire or interact with them. Interact. So therefore, I just, you know, I finally went to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Twice that happened, you know, within a period of time in the 90s. And now... thought I was in heaven.
She's not finished yet.
Oh, sorry. Well, I guess that was it. It's like all those years, then, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I never knew to engage and to ask questions.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think is very valuable for me, and I bet a lot of people, is when you made that statement, God's voice sounds like you. I struggled like heck in the 80s trying to hear the voice of the Lord. Because I kept saying, no, it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy.
Right.
Can't be that easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I finally just wanted to learn to accept. It's like, yeah, it's that easy.
Yeah. And everything that our Creator has for us is that easy. But we talk ourselves out of it, or someone else talks us out of it. Or we've heard something that makes us think, well, come on. The things in the, like, no one's taught us this, but I don't know, hopefully you guys never learned this. I learned as a little kid that if I put a blanket over my head and I couldn't see it, it couldn't see me. Did anyone have that same strange teaching? Where does that come from, right? I mean, we all know it's not true, right? You can't see me now. I mean, it's...
When you're little, you don't know it's not true.
I know we believe it strongly, but it's... You know, but it doesn't work. You know, you can't do the... You can't go to class with a hoodie down and go, the teacher can't see me now.
Right? Yeah.
Because I can't see it. But if you take that understanding to the spiritual realm, okay, I feel something, but if I don't acknowledge it, it will go away. Okay, that's that teaching, right? And so it's a doctrine that we pick up. Now, some people don't pick that up. There are some people whose their friends, families, actually say, honey, when that happens, open your eyes and speak to it. That wasn't my family. I was like, if you feel something, run. You know, because movies say run, parents say run, and my mom says, bridge coming, start swimming before you even go over. You know, so there's all this stuff that's out there. And on this topic of angels, and again, if we're going to use this as our door to the supernatural, I'm just going to kind of correct some things along the way. Okay, good point. Julie?
I was just going to say that, like, after I went to one of your first talks and, you know, heard a lot of talk about the angels, and I was so interested in it. And then after that, I came home, and I basically just said to God, you know, can I meet my angel? And what I heard him say is, when you're ready. And I thought that was like bringing me into that place of preparedness, I guess, and for that. And I really, really appreciate the whole idea of giving someone the understanding of when you meet your angel, you need to ask them their name and what is their purpose. Because I feel like when we don't have something to say or do, or like, what should I do, then we, you know,
we do something stupid. Exactly, we scream like a little girl. Yeah,
because it's the unusual.
Yeah,
you know. And so that to me was a really great example. It really helped me a lot.
Yeah.
I'll interject one thing on that. When my first angel, first angel encounter. I didn't ask, but my brain always goes, why? And I didn't articulate anything, but I had this sense of knowing that this angel was my little girl's angel. I forgot to say that part. I had this distinct impression, not like I asked or anything, but my brain always goes, why, or why is this happening? And it was almost like I had that impression that that's your daughter.
Yeah, so something that mostly the Western world, we don't value impressions, so we should value those. That's good.
Yeah, that was pretty neat, because when I did come home, she was telling me about it, and I said, oh, that's cool, that happened, but to think, to take the next step, to interact, wasn't
I mean, we're just, definitely in the West, but I think this is almost a human condition, but your brain, which is wonderful, left and right, but your left side of the brain is designed to, it really jumps to the familiar first. Things which are not familiar, that are new or different, there is a caution. And if you're brought up in a less creative framework, you won't pursue. You won't ask. And if you're brought up in a restricted environment, it's even worse, right? And I was a question kid, and I was told repeatedly, stop asking questions, don't worry about it, you're okay, don't, you know. And so I was, so I thought that was normal. That's not normal, right? You know, normal is to be curious, right? Of course, you have that saying, the curiosity killed the cat, which attacks all the curious people. Like, well, I'll get killed because I'm a cat. But cat's got 9 lives. I have 9 lives. I'm not sure of the 9 lives, but the 9 lives theory. You know, but we've got, you know, a lot of things are, you know, groups, bad groups use control. Like I had a friend. I went to Bible school in Sweden, so I had friends that were from communist countries. And I asked, how was it to live in a communist country? The wall had just gone down the year before. And this one guy said, it's really weird. I go, can you describe it? He says, like, well, the whole time you feel like that the government can read your mind.
I said, what do you mean? He says, like, well, now the wall is down. I still fear the fact that someone's reading my mind. And that's that real mind control thingy, right? And I looked at it, I was like, what's this? I couldn't imagine it. I didn't understand it. But when I flew into Russia later on that year, I had always envisioned Russia in black and white. This is weird to me. So I'd always saw Russia in black and white. So when I landed in Russia, and it wasn't black and white, but what was weird though, when I landed in Russia, all of the, this is weird, so I flew in Aeroflot Airlines, and it landed, and to the right and left were all these crashed planes. They weren't, in America, you hide our crashes. We clean the runway quickly, yeah. But all their crashes were like moved to the side. And so it was like, what? It was like, crash. And I'm like going, what? And then when we got into the airport, somehow our visas were a day off, so we were, the timestamp wrong. So they let one of us through, or a group, and the rest, we were held. And I guess we were waiting for a bribe or something, I don't know what they were doing. So in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm held captive. My job is to break free. So this is my creative mind. So I was about to run through and get through to freedom, you know, and go speak at the church and talk about how great that was. And I was about to do it, but in that little mini vision, they shot my teacher, who was to speak. You know, I thought, they may blame me for that, so I didn't do that. But we have these preconceived, some have more preconceived ideas than others, but preconceived sometimes can hinder you if you have the wrong information, right? So, it's bad.
Well, I am going to excuse myself.
Okay.
You're very charismatic and entertaining and a great storyteller. I'm just feeling more and more uncomfortable. I do believe in angels from Scripture, but my direction is more to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know, maybe I'm just sending out bad vibes to other people, but, and I don't want to just...
You're not sending out bad vibes, because none's very good.
I really apologize.
No, you're okay.
So, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a wonderful speaker, but, I don't know, it's really conflicting.
Yeah, no, because like you said, that understanding was my intro understanding, right? And until I saw that Jesus needed angels, I was like that.
Yeah, I'm not afraid
of that. No, I was anything that I didn't understand was this until I saw in the Bible that Jesus had angelic help. Until that was it, I was like, yeah. And again, this is not to replace Jesus at all. Right. This is to understand that when Jesus was walking on the planet, and we're walking on the planet, right? If he needed angelic help, then most likely I do. Now, I don't go to the angels first. I go to my Father first. If my Father sends angels, good. If my Father sends Holy Spirit, great. But whatever the Father sends. And so one of the resources in the kingdom are angels. Many people are ignorant of any resources in the kingdom, okay? And that's the part why I'm talking about how some of the things that help you. And again, we're starting with this, not ending with this, just starting with that. But yeah, I totally understand if you still need to go. I love you, and I'm not offended at all. So I've walked out lots of meetings, you know? So and that's bold that you can do that. So that's great. Thank you. Thank you for coming. So, was there another question? Okay. So everything starts with belief, right? And the scripture on believing is Hebrews 11:1. You know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things believed. But you can't believe in something, you can't believe in God unless you believe it exists, right? And again, as I said earlier, my reference or foundation is the Bible. Okay, There are other references. All I know is I've tested and tried this one, right? I haven't tested and tried all the other millions of hits out there, right? But I've tested and tried the scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my foundation. And it's not everyone's foundation, but that's mine. That's where I'm coming from. But in order to engage the things in the invisible world, it starts with believing, right? Not believing things are there, but believing that our God is, our Creator God has set up a structure, right? And again, when I, the second or third book, Lord was like, hey, you need to understand your resources. And I was like, what resources? You know? On the earth realm, you know, I do planning, so I have to manage lots of resources, right? And most of the resources is money, right? But it's also people, sometimes it's tools, right? So when I was having an engagement with the Lord about resources of the kingdom, I'm thinking like, what are you talking about? Because that vocabulary was different, right? Because none of my church friends, pastor friends, use resources. So I was like, there's no resources in heaven. There's just you, you know? But in your relationship with the Lord, He wants to share with you things, right? And again, as I mentioned earlier, other than screaming like a little girl and that little boy experience, I was like, I don't need angels because I just screamed and the little boy needed it, and I guess the little boy needed to be comforted, right? So I'm thinking, I'm a big boy, I guess I don't need it, da, da, da. But when I'm reading the Bible, and there's the book of Zechariah is all about an angel talking to a guy and giving him guidance. I never saw that until I was 50. I'm thinking, how can I miss the whole book that's about an angel and a guy? It's more than that, but until I started writing the book, right? So based on your perception and where you're looking is how you see things, right? Until I started digging in to see that the way we've translated messenger and angel, I didn't go further until I started asking questions of God and Him telling me things and me studying. I'm going, wow, that is a resource that not only did the guy in Zechariah used, but Jesus used, and wow, different people relied upon these angels. And of course, so you go like, well, God, aren't you able to take care of me? You know, I mean, so that's, you know, well, why would you send an assistant? You know, and it's also, you know, why are you sending me the assistant? I don't need an assistant. I want you. You know, and that's kind of one of his deals, right? That's his, you know. But you go, okay, well, there's angels up there. Like, obviously, he's fully capable of talking to Joseph about, hey, you should leave town, but he sent an angel. So, a lot of why, I mean, and I still have that question, it has not been answered. How come you didn't show up? Why did you? Solomon, you showed up in Solomon's dream. Why didn't you show up in Joseph's dream? So, I still have those questions. They're still out there, right? And again, you know, when I get the answer, maybe I'll send an email. Hey, the answer is, you know. But the real answer is because he can do what he wants to do. That's the answer. I'm not really satisfied with the answer, you know. But I'm satisfied with him, okay. So there's lots of things that go on in the kingdom that I don't understand. But the things I do understand, I want to share, right. So when I found out there are resources that I could use in the right way, because there's people who've used resources in the spiritual world in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sharing the wrong stuff, I don't think. Hopefully I'm not. But the right stuff. Anyway, so my pursuit was like, okay, there's resources. So I was like, okay, if it's a resource, well, how many angels can I have? Is this an unlimited resource? You know, at least, you know. And I got an answer back. So, of course, you have to believe that God is out there and He's willing to talk, because you won't talk to someone that you don't think you'll get an answer from. So for many decades, I didn't talk to God because I didn't know God talked to normal people. I thought God only talked to special people. And I didn't feel special, right? And so once you, anyway, so in my conversation, so you have to get to where you have a conversation. So I said, look, so this is a resource. How many can we have, you know? I saw a scripture about, you know, a kid's having an angel, so at least you get one. So I said, how many we get? And then I was surprised to get an answer back. The answer back was, is as many as you can employ. I thought, I have to pay them? Now I'm like, I don't like that answer because, you know, that's the danger thing about having questions. You may get an answer that you don't like, right? Or not understand, right? So sometimes in not understanding, you stop and you run away and say, I'm not talking to you again. That's not good. Since you're friends, if you have a relationship, you keep going funk. Like in the natural, just because if you're on Facebook or texting, you may have a typo and the person misread that and never talk to you again. You're like, I don't understand. Why are we not talking? Well, you said, oh, I didn't mean that. I meant this. So the same thing with you and the Father, right? So when he said employ, I thought pay. And I'm thinking, what? How much would they pay? And I didn't get another job. And where is it? Where do you? Because I'm asking all these questions the wrong way. And he goes, well, where are you going? I go, well, I got to go make some money. Because you said I need these resources. And I got to figure out how I got to tell my wife I got another job because I got to pay for an angel. And the angels are, I don't think they, I got to save up. You know, so my mind's. And he's like, no, not employ as in pay. Employ as in keeping active. So I said, oh, what's that mean? Keep active is when you're praying, you have something, you know, my perception was the angelic realm, at least these classes of angels, do not like to be inactive, okay? They like to be actively doing something. So I was like, so you said I could have as many as I can employ or keep active. How do we keep active? Well, next question. Well, in your prayer life, when you're asking for your mom to get healed or something, you can now release an angel to help in that area. And I was like, but I thought it was just you. God, because that's what I learned, right? He goes, well, yes, that's true. But sometimes I send a messenger to do something. That's scriptural. Yes, you do. You know, and again, in my brain, I have my understanding. Then sometimes I get my understanding upgraded, right? So my understanding back in that day was the only person I could ask for help was the Lord, and the only person I could expect help from was the Lord. So it was like one-on-one deal. When he said there's other resources, I was like, what? No, it's just you. And you don't talk to me because you're back in the day, and I'd always say, I'm sure you're with Billy Graham, because he was, in my mind, in my life, the epitome of the guy that God would help, right? And since Billy Graham was very busy, I'd always go, you're probably busy, Billy Graham, because he's doing another crusade someplace in the world. Yeah, I'm just trying to get along here, so priorities, and I'd understand omnipresence and omni and stuff like that. I just, favorites was my understanding of God, because I was kind of taught that. You know, it's not true, but that's what I believe. Anyway, so I was like, okay, so to get this straight, I ask you for help, and I should be open to any way you want to answer the prayer, not the way I should expect you to answer the prayer. Well, that means you're in control. Yes. So to get this straight, I'm not in control. So in this whole thing, it's more about not my ability to control these angels. Angel, go over there and do something for me because I owe it. No, it's not that at all. It's in my relationship with my Creator God. You know, his response might be back to him himself or the Holy Spirit or Jesus or these other angels, right? According to the Bible, there's lots of them. Myriads. You can look up a myriad. It means more than one. Other translations in Hebrews is thousands upon thousands, right? Hebrew tradition, there's just millions upon millions of angels, right? So there's a lot. Well, there's more than one, okay? Some places, traditions, they are like, I'm sorry, you can't even talk about it because you're taking away attention from the Holy Trinity. And I was kind of brought up that way. And so I was like very personally concerned when I was having this conversation. Like, well, God, then I researched lots of books that say, you know, you should only have a conversation about the angels which are in the Bible and in a few other books. And if you look in church history, there are court cases and religious cases about, no, you can't know their names, you should not have any interaction at all because the interaction is known as worship. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. So I backed off because of the opinions of others versus the opinion of my God. And so we got to figure out there's a balance there, right? You know, when you take a loan out, you're now dependent upon a person for money and not your God. So you kind of got to look at that. So is that worship that person? No, you're just taking money out, right? So I'm under the deal. If you have a foundation with the top relationship in your life, which would be God, who's opened the door for the relationship, and he leads you to do something, I think his counsel's best. Okay? My counsel's good, but his is best, right? And we need not be ignorant of spiritual matters. So there's a right relationship with things in the invisible. There's a wrong relationship too, but we're not talking about the wrong. We're talking about how we navigate through this little gate, right? And the little gate isn't that little, because there's a lot of things in the invisible realm that we need to have a right relationship with, right? And not a wrong relationship with. Okay. Thoughts? Where we're going? Concerns? Where we're going? Questions about where we're going?
Is what?
A
scripture.
You want a scripture?
I always wondered about.
What's that?
One in Colossians, where Paul says, Colossians 2:18, let no one cheat you out of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, and puffed up by his flesh and mind. I guess not, we're looking at translations, but I have never understood that. What's Paul saying?
Well, Paul's talking about in lots of cultures, in that culture there, there was worship of anything stronger than you. And angels are some things we don't understand. So people were giving more attention to angels than other things, right? And so the worship of angels has gone into, there are still groups on the planet that worship angels that do only what the angels do that's not in line with the scripture and not in line with the Bible. Yeah, so there's that, right? There are false angels who welcome the attention and adoration, mm-hmm. who direct it towards them, okay? And that's not good, right? So in that case there, a lot of Paul's letters are dealing with what's going on in that community, right? Mm-hmm. So in that community they were, you know, hey, angel showed up that helped us water the plants, so we thought we'd give it an offering. Well, that's not right.
And they were a lot more open to this whole.
Right. So they were open to the unseen more, which meant there was more guidance on that. So like when Paul did escape prison and they went to the door and the lady goes, Paul's angels out there. Well, they were used to that realm more than we were. So they didn't so anyway, so but we're again the a danger concern is when you start talking about something that's not in the traditional mode, you know, of things that we talk about, and you start talking about over here, my first book, you know, my own church, you know, While You're Deceived, I go, what am I deceived about? I'm open to be corrected. Well, you're talking about something over here. I go, yes, I am. And one guy was like, Wally, you didn't mention Jesus in your book. I go, because the book's not about Jesus. I'm sorry, it was on this topic, you know. But the foundation is a relationship. And it's a good point. I'll add some more to the book to remind people. The book is not for people that don't know anything. It's for people who know this much, and then you go from here, right? And so I was upset when I thought, oh, no, my books are leading people to deception. And so one of my critics was like, you need to take all your books, you need to find out where they are, and go get them back. And I was like, really? And so then I'm thinking, so I go to my Father God and say, God, I'm sorry that I've done something wrong and I'm hurting people. And I repent, and I thought this was you, and I want this whole thingy. And I'm being all repentant. And the Lord says, you know, they did the same thing with my book. And I was like, what do you mean? Well, you know, Hitler killed millions of people based on scripture, right? Twisted scripture, right? Slavery, a lot of these verses too. And I was like, I said, well, what did you do? Well, they used your book the wrong way. Did you take your book off the shelf? And I was not, you know. He goes, no. I said, well, what did you do? Because our, you know, he's like, people are like that. People will do what they want to do, you know. And so with anything, we have the option to go back to our loving Father and say, hey, I thought this, you know, is this the right activity? Here's how I'm responding to this information. Here's how I'm responding to the situation. Is this the best response? You know, if not, we get to be corrected, which is good because it's good to be corrected. If not, then it's bad not to be corrected. Okay.
Well, do you want to take just a little break?
Sure. What time is it?
Play food.
Oh my goodness.
Well, stretch our legs. Just.
I lost the time.
Yeah. For just a few minutes.
Yeah. Break.
And there's food.